Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going on a deep dive into the world of Ganesha. I'm so excited to unravel the mystery behind his elephant head and, you know, that whole thing about being the remover of obstacles. And especially, you know, the stories about the broken tusk and the potbelly, all that good stuff. We got a ton of really interesting historical and cultural sources. So let's just jump right in.
It's amazing. You know, Ganesha, he's popular all over, I mean, way beyond Hinduism. He's revered all across Asia, and each culture like adds their own spin on his image and the stories. Like, we're gonna discover some really unexpected global connections.
Yeah, that's what I love about these deep dives.
Yeah.
You never know where they'll end up. Okay, but before we go global, I gotta ask about their elephant head. I mean, it's like the first thing you notice about them.
Absolutely. So there are a bunch of different origin stories, but what's really fascinating is all that symbolism, you know, packed into the elephant head. It represents wisdom, strength, and that whole idea of overcoming obstacles, which is like really at the heart of why Ganesha is so popular.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I'm super curious about this whole remover of obstacles thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why does that resonate with so many people across different cultures?
Well, you know, think about it. It kind of taps into this universal human desire. I mean, who wouldn't want things to be easier, you know? Like, who wouldn't want some kind of divine help when you're facing a challenge, whether it's, you know, starting a business, a tough decision, or just trying to find some peace? Turning to Ganesha for support speaks to that need, you know, that really deep need we all have for guidance and some reassurance.
Yeah. It's like having a cosmic problem solver in your corner, right? I can see why he's so popular.
Yeah.
But what about that broken tusk? The stories about that are just fascinating.
Right. There's the one where he's battling a demon and another one where he sacrifices it to right, like,
yeah,
the entire Mahabharata. But beyond the specific story, the broken tusk represents this idea of sacrifice, you know, for a greater good.
You know, I've always thought of sacrifice as something negative, like, you know, giving something up that you really love. But this kind of reframes it. It's about choosing what to let go of, so you can achieve something bigger, something more meaningful.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that to move forward, sometimes you gotta let go. Like, just as Ganesha used that broken tusk to create, we can transform our own experiences, you know, even the tough ones, into wisdom and strength.
That's powerful. It makes you realize that those challenges, those broken tusks we all have, can actually help us grow. Now, we can't forget about that pot belly. I mean, it's not just a quirky feature, is it?
Oh, definitely not. It's full of symbolism. That pot belly represents abundance, contentment, and that ability to digest everything life throws at you, good and bad.
So it's not just about material wealth. It's more like a deeper sense of fulfillment, like, you know, having enough space inside to process everything that happens to you.
Exactly. Ganesha's potbelly shows that capacity to take everything in, learn from it, and come out, you know, not just fuller, but wiser. It's a powerful reminder that growing and learning often comes with challenges, with moments that test our ability to like digest new experiences.
That makes me think about times in my own life when I've hit major obstacles. Times that felt like I was being pushed to my absolute limit. Looking back, those were the times when I learned the most, even if they were really tough to go through.
And that's the essence of Ganesha's potbelly. It's about recognizing that those challenging experiences can nourish us, helping us grow. It's not about having a life without obstacles, but developing the inner strength and wisdom to turn them into chances to grow.
You know what? This conversation is making me rethink my whole definition of prosperity. It's not just about outward success, but about that inner wealth, the wisdom, resilience, and that contentment that Ganesha represents.
I totally agree. And that leads us to this really cool aspect of Ganesha's story, that his popularity isn't limited to just Hinduism.
Okay, now this is where it gets really interesting. I'm always fascinated by how ideas, you know, how cultural ideas spread and change. Where else can we see Ganesha's influence?
Well, he's revered in different parts of Asia, like Thailand. In Thailand, he's called Phra Thikkhanae. They've woven him into their own belief systems, changing his stories and image to fit their own culture.
So even though the details might be different, the core message, overcoming obstacles and seeking wisdom, it goes beyond those cultural differences.
Exactly. It speaks to a basic human experience that we all share. We all face obstacles and we all look for ways to get through them and come out stronger.
I'm already starting to see Ganesha differently. It's incredible how one deity can hold such a powerful and universal message.
Right. And speaking of seeing, let's talk about how Ganesha is depicted in art and architecture. I mean, his image has been represented in so many ways throughout history, from those ancient temple carvings to modern day street art.
Yeah, I've always been amazed by how, religious figures make their way into different art forms. It's like a visual language that reflects the beliefs and values of a culture. Tell me more about how Ganesha's image has been represented over time.
I mean, from intricate temple sculptures to vibrant street art, Ganesha's image has been woven into the artistic tapestry of so many cultures. It's really cool to see how those depictions reflect both the enduring power of his symbolism and how artistic styles have changed across generations.
It's like looking at like a historical timeline carved in stone, paint, and even pixels. Are there any specific examples that you find particularly interesting?
Well, the Jamak Mosque in Delhi, built during Mughal Emperor Akbar's reign, it has this really interesting mix of architectural styles. It incorporates elements from earlier mosque designs, like the pre-Mughal era, like the multiple arched openings and those slender pillars.
Oh, wow, that's fascinating. It's interesting how architecture often reflects, like a fusion of different influences, incorporating elements from various periods and styles. It's like a visual representation of cultural exchange, of continuity.
Exactly. And in this case, it shows how the Jamak Mosque, while being a symbol of Islamic faith, also reflects the architectural heritage that came before the Mughals in India.
It's a beautiful example of how different cultures and religious expressions can, like, coexist and contribute to this rich and diverse architectural landscape. Mm. It's a reminder that art and architecture can act as bridges between cultures,
mm-hmm.
Reflecting how human history is interconnected and how ideas and aesthetics are shared.
Absolutely. And we see that same interconnectedness reflected in Ganesha's story, too. His journey through time and across cultures shows the enduring power of symbolism and how it transcends boundaries. I mean, we've only just scratched the surface here. There's still so much more to explore.
I can't wait to dive deeper.
It's incredible. A deity with roots in ancient India, and yet he's captured the imagination of people all over the world. It really makes you wonder, like, how do these different cultural interpretations change how we understand Ganesha? Do they add new layers of meaning? Do they challenge what we think we know about his symbolism?
Those are, like, really good questions. It's almost like we're putting together this giant global puzzle, And each culture brings a unique piece to the table, contributing to a more complete picture of Ganesha.
Yeah.
But speaking of puzzles, we haven't really delved into the philosophical side of things. Is there a deeper meaning, like, behind the stories and symbols?
Absolutely. I mean, beyond the captivating stories and the vibrant imagery, Ganesha's symbolism, it invites us to think about some pretty profound philosophical concepts. Like, take his role as the remover of obstacles. It's not just about finding easy success. It encourages us to, to really think about the nature of obstacles themselves.
Okay. I'm listening. Sounds like we're going deeper here.
Exactly. Ganesha's message, it's suggesting that obstacles are a natural part of life. They're not always bad, actually. They can be chances for growth and transformation.
So instead of seeing them as roadblocks, maybe we should be looking at them as stepping stones. Like, they help us on our path to growth.
Right. And Ganesha's image, it captures that idea perfectly. His elephant head representing wisdom, it guides us through those challenges. And then there's that broken tusk. It speaks of sacrifice, perseverance, and understanding that sometimes we have to let go to make progress.
It's a good reminder that those tough times, those setbacks, our own broken tusks, they can actually be the things that push us to grow the most. But what about that pot belly? I mean, we talked about its symbolism before, but is there a deeper philosophical layer to it?
For sure. Yeah, we often link it to abundance and prosperity, but it goes beyond just material wealth. Think of it more as a representation of contentment, acceptance, inner peace, being full and satisfied and just at ease with who you are.
So it's not about always wanting more, but appreciating what we already have and being present, finding joy in the moment.
I love that. It's like a visual cue, right? Like, take a deep breath, let go of your worries, and enjoy the little things.
Exactly. And that connection to breath, that's actually really important. Yogic philosophy, they associate the belly with the breath, the life force. So Ganesha's plot belly can also be seen as this symbol of vitality, energy, and the interconnectedness of everything.
It's like saying that true prosperity isn't about stuff. It's about having that inner peace and harmony. And that message, it's so important, especially now in our world today. We're bombarded with all these messages about what we should have, what we should achieve, how we should look.
I completely agree. It's so refreshing to have a symbol that reminds us to slow down, to appreciate the simple things, and to find contentment from within.
This whole conversation is making me realize that there's so much wisdom, like, hidden within these old symbols and stories. But I'm curious, how have they been interpreted outside of, like, Hindu traditions? That's an excellent question. As Ganesha's image has spread across the world, different cultures have embraced it and reinterpreted it. You know, they add layers of meaning, show different perspectives.
Do you have any specific examples of how, like, other cultures have woven Ganesha into their own beliefs?
Oh, tons. Take Thailand, for example. There, he's known as Phro Phikkhanet, and they revere him as this deity of fortune and success. You'll see his image in homes, businesses, temples, people seeking his blessings for prosperity and good luck.
So even though the name and maybe some of the specifics change, that central message, overcoming obstacles, achieving success, it resonates no matter the culture.
You got it. And each culture brings something new to the table, making our understanding of Ganesha even richer. In Japan, he's Kangiten, linked to happiness, wisdom, and, yep, you guessed it, removing those obstacles. What's interesting is he often has this more, how do I put it, jovial and benevolent expression, you know, compared to the traditional Indian portrayals.
It's fascinating how these subtle differences in how he's depicted can tell us something about the culture's values and perceptions, right?
Okay.
But it really goes to show the power of these ancient symbols. They transcend cultures. They connect us to something bigger.
Totally agree. And that's part of what makes Ganesha so compelling. He embodies a message that everyone can relate to, no matter where they come from or what they believe.
This deep dive has taken us from ancient India to Thailand, Japan. It's been a mix of history, philosophy, cultural perspectives, and through it all, Ganesha's image, it really stands out as a symbol of hope, wisdom, and resilience.
Couldn't have said it better myself. But there's one more piece of Ganesha's story that I think we should touch on. It's more modern and deals with the whole commercialization of his image.
Oh, interesting. That's definitely a topic that brings up a lot of questions. Yeah, let's get into it.
Think about it. Ganesha-shaped chocolates, clothing lines with his image. I mean, the market is flooded with products that use his popularity to sell. It highlights how enduring his image is, but it also raises some ethical concerns.
Yeah, it's a tricky balance for sure. Some people see it as a harmless way to, like, celebrate Ganesha and spread his message, but others might see it as exploitation or disrespect.
You nailed it. On one hand, you have businesses trying to meet consumer demand, recognizing that Ganesha's image is super popular. On the other hand, there's a legitimate concern about whether these products are created and marketed with, you know, actual respect for his religious significance.
It's like walking a tightrope between commerce and reverence. It makes you think about cultural appropriation and whether we're trivializing a sacred figure.
Exactly. It's important to consider the implications of all this commercialization. Are we, as consumers, getting accurate and respectful information about Ganesha and what he represents? Or are we just buying into a trend without really understanding or appreciating the culture and religious context?
It's a good point. Even in business, respect and sensitivity matter. It's our job to be mindful consumers and make sure our choices reflect our values.
I couldn't agree more. It's on both businesses and consumers to ensure that commercializing religious figures doesn't come at the expense of cultural sensitivity and respect.
This deep dive has been so eye-opening. We've explored so many aspects of Ganesha, his ancient origins, modern influence, everything in between.
It really has, and it shows how one deity can hold so many different meanings. We've talked about history, philosophy, culture, and even ethics.
We've covered a lot today. The symbolism of his elephant head, the broken tusk, his global reach, and even the ethics of how his image is used commercially.
But as interesting as all of that is, I think the most important thing is how Ganesha's message can impact us personally. How can his story inspire us to be wiser, more resilient, and find more joy in our own lives?
That's a perfect way to transition to the last part of our deep dive. Let's explore how Ganesha's symbolism can empower us to face life's challenges, you know, with grace, strength, and a sense of wonder. You know, I think that's what makes Ganesha so incredible. He's not just some figure stuck in temples and old books. He's like this living presence, and he speaks to something deep inside us.
Yeah, I totally agree. And while we've spent a lot of time talking about his symbolism, the real magic is how those symbols can teach us something real, something we can apply to our own lives. Like, how do we become more like Ganesha? How do we live with that same wisdom, resilience, and joy?
That's the big question, right? Where do we even start?
Well, let's go back to that basic idea of Ganesha as the remover of obstacles. We've talked about how to look at obstacles as chances to grow, but how do we actually do that? You know, it's easy to feel totally overwhelmed when things get tough, to let fear and doubt take over.
Oh, I know that feeling. It's like being stuck, like you hit a wall and there's no way through.
And that's when we need Ganesha's wisdom. That elephant head, it's all about expansive wisdom, right? It reminds us to look beyond the problem, to get a bigger perspective. So instead of getting lost in the problem itself, you got to ask yourself, what can I learn from this? What new skills, what new strengths can I gain from this?
It's like going from feeling helpless to feeling empowered. You're not just a victim, you're actively looking for solutions.
Exactly. And don't forget that broken tusk. It teaches us that sometimes you have to let go of things to move forward. You know, old habits, beliefs, things that don't work for you anymore. Think about it. What are you holding on to that might be stopping you from moving forward?
That's a really powerful question. It's like clearing out all the mental clutter so that something new can grow.
Right. And speaking of space, let's talk about that potbelly again. We've talked about contentment, inner peace, but there's another layer to it, self-acceptance. Ganesha, with his full belly, he's encouraging us to accept our imperfections, to stop beating ourselves up, and to find joy just in being ourselves.
Yeah, it's so easy to get caught up in this whole perfection thing, you know, comparing yourself to other people and feeling like you're not good enough. But Ganesha's pot belly, it's like this gentle reminder to be kind to yourself, to celebrate who you are, and to cultivate that sense of being whole.
That's beautifully said. And that acceptance, it's the key to resilience. When we can accept our flaws without judgment, we're so much better at handling the tough stuff. We bounce back from setbacks and we embrace, you know, the whole spectrum of what it means to be human.
That makes me think about those times when I've been the hardest on myself, you know, letting mistakes and failures define me. Those are the times I need Ganesha's wisdom the most. That reminder to be compassionate with myself, to learn from those experiences, and to keep going.
You got it. That's the heart of Ganesha's message. It's not about avoiding obstacles. It's about learning to move through them with grace and strength. And hey, let's not forget that Ganesha has a playful side too. That mischievous smile, that love of sweets, it's a reminder to not take ourselves too seriously. Life is meant to be enjoyed. You got to savor it and approach it with curiosity and delight.
It's like he's saying, hey, life's got its challenges, but don't forget to dance along the way.
You got it. Embrace the ups and downs, enjoy those sweet moments, and never lose that childlike sense of wonder.
This deep dive, wow, it's been such an incredible journey exploring all the different sides of Ganesha. We've talked about his history, his symbols, how he's known around the world, and even the ethical considerations of how his image is used.
It really has, and I think it shows us that Ganesha is more than just a god in temples and stories. He's a living presence, you know? His message speaks to something universal in all of us.
He represents wisdom, resilience, joy, and that unshakable belief in our own power to overcome obstacles and build a life full of purpose and meaning. I know I'm going to carry his lessons with me long after this deep dive is over.
Me too, absolutely. And I hope you will too.
Thank you so much for joining us on this amazing exploration of Ganesha's world. We hope you've learned a lot and that you're feeling inspired, you know, inspired to face your own journey with that same grace, wisdom, and joy that Ganesha embodies. Until next time, keep exploring, keep those questions coming, and keep on taking those deep dives.